I just pray that you would have your way and that you would just really use this time for your glory and for your purpose. Amen. Now everyone needs to stay standing just for 1 minute, because I'm not speaking tonight, and so I'm just, but Adrian, it's all right. Feeling the love. Okay. Some honor there, I could really tell. He was. Thank you, Josh. I'll pay you later. Adrian is going to come and he's going to share with us. And I am excited. You know, I think Adrian is just an amazing guy and just through and through. And, you know, if you wanted to just copy someone and be them, then you should just copy Adrian pretty much every part of his life. So just go and do that and listen to what he has to say. You know, I love, like, no, Adrian's a very good preacher and he's very funny. But what I like about Adrian the most, just to get serious, is that he just backs it up with everything that he does in his life. And for me, that makes someone worth listening to. It's not about, like, catchy phrases that you can tweet, but it's about seeing that in his life every day, yeah? And, you know, someone's life is much bigger than you can fit in a tweet. So, I don't know, just listen to him. Let's just give him a big hand as he comes up to share.
Awesome. Amen. You guys can be seated. Welcome to Explosion. I feel like it's already exploded, if you know what I mean. Well, you know, I'm just an ordinary guy. You know what I'm saying? I'm just an ordinary guy. Andrew said some nice stuff about me, and you know, it's all true. But really, I'm just an ordinary guy. There's nothing really that special about me. And like, I think of when Liz and I had our son Joel, and the last day of the hospital day where I had to go in and pick Liz and Joel up, I brought the pram in. And this was the first time I'd ever, you know, got the pram, put it in the boot. That part went cool. That was all good. I could fit it in the boot. And I got to the hospital and I got into the car park and I opened up the boot and I pulled out the pram. And then that's when the problem began. I thought this would be really easy, just to unfold a pram and sort of roll it into the hospital. But I could not do it. I spent at least 15 to 20 minutes trying to figure this whole pram out, trying to open it up and trying to pull in all these different levers and trying to do everything that I could possibly think of and still couldn't do it. So I thought, well, I'll just carry the darn thing in and I won't roll it in like any other normal person would. And so I carried this lump of a pram and then I seen two ladies and I thought, they can help me. And so on the way to the hospital, there was the two ladies and I'm like, excuse me, this is really embarrassing, but I can't open this pram. Could you guys help me? And so just to let you know how complicated this pram is, those two ladies could not open this pram either. This is Kate's pram that she lent to us, by the way. And so we were all on the ground, sort of just sitting around it, trying to unfold this pram, and it just wasn't working. And so I'll just carry it in, don't worry. You know, then I thought, actually, no, I'll ring Kate, because it's Kate's pram. And long story short, Kate came to the rescue. She drove to the hospital because she was fairly close by and she said, look, Adrian, I know the situation. I'll just come in and save the day for you. And so Kate came in and she just literally went, one hand, boom, up the pram goes. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm just an ordinary guy. There's nothing special about me. There really isn't. And I think about my life and just my incredible ability with directions on the road. I'm just amazing. And I've told the story before, but the first big date I sort of took Liz out to, I actually drove through the same town twice trying to get to the destination because I'm just absolutely pathetic with directions. But now we're a team and we work together. And Liz, she directs and I just drive and we just get to where we need to get on time. Every time. We're at Hillsong this week, and she'd been directing me on the same road every day, trying to get from the hotel to Hillsong Conference, and on the very last day, I was still asking, is it this left or is it the next left? And after that, is it the right? I'm just not very good at directions, and I can see Heather here giving Ron a big cuddle there. It must run in the Thomas family, and it does run in. I think I'm the first in the Thornton family to start this, so hopefully Joel doesn't pick it up. But I'm just an ordinary guy. You know, I'm good at some things, but not so good at others. And to be honest, we're all just ordinary people. We're just all ordinary people. I know God loves us. I know He's got a great plan for us. I know we're the apple of His eye. But at the end of the day, we were all created from dust. We're just ordinary people. And we hear the term a lot that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Have you heard that before? God uses ordinary people. But I want to say today that that's only half the story. Because I think sometimes we can use the word ordinary and use that as an excuse to be lazy. Or use the word ordinary as an excuse to just be unproductive or idle in life. Or just have no vision and have no passion and just not want to do something amazing and give God our all because we're just ordinary. And God uses ordinary people. Well, I want to say tonight that God does use ordinary people. But He uses ordinary people that have an extraordinary dot, dot, dot. That's the title of my message, and we'll be leading into that a little bit later. He uses ordinary people who have an extraordinary, and I'll get there in a little bit. If you open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 to 21, it says this. This is Paul the Apostle speaking to Timothy, a young pastor of a church, and Paul is just writing these letters to Timothy, just investing into him and instructing him and showing him how to be a great pastor and how to lead a church. And this is just some advice. This is just something that Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 to 21. Are you there? You there? Awesome. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes. Everyone say special purposes. Made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. The scripture is telling me here that in this house there is articles for common use and then there's articles for special use. And Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, cleanse yourself from the later and be an article of special use so that God can use you for any good work, so that you are prepared and ready to do anything that God has called you to do, so that you can live an extraordinary life, because I haven't called you to live an ordinary life. He's called him to live an extraordinary life, to be an incredible pastor, to lead an awesome church, to reach out and do incredible things. But you're going to have to cleanse yourself from the ordinary so that you can do the extraordinary. And so we can't make the excuse and say, well, you know what, God uses ordinary people, so that doesn't mean I need to get out of my seat and, you know, go and talk to my friends about Jesus, or I don't need to make the extra effort to pray every day for half an hour or however long that it is for you, or I don't have to, you know, be super passionate for Jesus, and I don't have to come to every church service, because God uses ordinary people to do incredible things. Well, that is not the truth. God does use ordinary people, but He uses ordinary people who cleanse themselves from the ordinary purposes and set themselves apart for something amazing that God has got installed for them. And I would encourage us all to be people that don't just make excuses and say, God, He just uses ordinary people, so I'm not going to go the extra mile. I'm not going to put in the extra effort. I'm just going to live an ordinary life because that's who God uses. I pray that we would have a church full of young people who just want to give their absolute all and not settle for anything less than ordinary, but live the extraordinary life that God has prepared for us. I want to speak about the life of Peter in the New Testament, and he was an ordinary dude. He was as ordinary as they came. He was a fisherman, and he was pretty good at that. But, you know, people didn't look up to fishermen. It wasn't like young people, like some people here today, would aspire, wow, look at Peter out on that boat fishing. I want to do that. look at his rod. Wow. I want to do that. And it wasn't an extraordinary thing that Peter had going for himself. It wasn't an extraordinary life. He was just ordinary. He was just an everyday type of guy who fished. There was another young guy in the New Testament, and we don't know his name, but he's referred to as the rich young ruler. And Jesus gave him an opportunity to live an extraordinary life. Because this rich young ruler got to a place in his life where he realized that his life was ordinary. He was rich, he was young, and he was a ruler. This is the type of guy that people would have been looking up to and saying, I want to be like him. Look at him. He's a ruler. He's got influence. He's doing incredible things. He's wealthy. I want to be like that guy. And Jesus gave this guy an opportunity to live an extraordinary life because he came to a point in his life where he realized that wealth, that power wasn't everything. And he came to Jesus and said, what else is there? What am I lacking? And Jesus sets before him an opportunity and says, hey, if you give away all your wealth and sell it and give to the poor, then come follow me and you'll live an extraordinary life. But this guy, who everybody would have thought was just like amazing and incredible and aspired to be like, wasn't able to do it. And so my point today is that God does use ordinary people like Peter. And we don't need to think that we need to be the smartest. We don't need to think that we need to have the greatest ability in music or in anything else or in sport, or maybe at school you're not the most intelligent person there. Maybe you don't have the most experience. Well, Peter was that type of person. He wasn't the smartest. He didn't have the greatest ability. He was just an ordinary guy, but God used him. And we can be like Peter and be used by God for something extraordinary. Amen. Who wants to live an incredible life? Who wants to do things that we never thought we'd ever possibly imagine that we could ever do? Who wants to just step out of the boat like Peter did and do the impossible and be taken places with Jesus that we never thought we would ever go to and experience things we never thought we would experience? Let's live an extraordinary life, but let's not make excuses and say that, well, God uses ordinary people, so I'm just going to live an ordinary life. So the first point is this. God uses ordinary people who have extraordinary obedience. In Matthew 4, verses 18 to 20, this is when Jesus is calling the disciples. Says this, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. It goes on to say that Jesus called other disciples, and immediately they followed him. What stands out in this story is their obedience. These guys were just ordinary fishermen, yet because of their obedience to God, because of their obedience to Jesus' calling over their lives, they went on to live an extraordinary life. Peter went on to, be one of the founding apostles of the church. Peter went on to preach a sermon one day where over 3,000 people were saved. This is Peter the fisherman, but because of his obedience to God, because he stepped out immediately and done what God said immediately, at once, the Bible says, God could use him. And I want to say to us, we can be exactly the same. We don't need to be the smartest or the most capable or have the most experience. We just need to be obedient. We just need to do what God is telling us to do. And we will live an extraordinary life. Sometimes we think of obedience as a negative type of thing. We're being always told what to do at school. You need to do your homework. Or at uni, you need to do these assignments. Or you need to clean your room. And it's kind of a bit negative. But with Jesus, he loves us. He knows us. He wants the best for us. He cares for us. And so when He's calling us to do something, it's actually for the best. It's actually to benefit us and benefit the people around us and benefit His church. He loves us so much. He wants us just to be immediately obedient and just at once say, yes, Jesus, I'll do it. You know, obedience is the easiest thing, but it's also the hardest thing. Does anyone know that? I know so many times where you just feel in your spirit, God's just saying, hey, do this. And you're like, I just want to stay in bed. I don't want to get up. Or, you know, whatever it is for you. Obedience is easy. Just do what God says. But it's also really hard to do because it's coming up against, you know, just what you want to do. It comes up against your pride and just what you want to do. But Jesus wants you to step out and do something extraordinary. And we just need to do it. We don't need to be the smartest. We just need to be obedient. We just need to be obedient. I don't like washing up at night, but I have to do it because Liz tells me to. I don't mind changing nappies. I enjoy the time spent with Joel, but you know, when Liz tells me to do it, I've got to change the nappies. And it's for the best. But when Jesus asks us to do something, we've just got to do it. And if you really want to live an incredible life, just be obedient. Just be obedient. Stop thinking that you have to be the smartest, the brainiest, or the wealthiest, or anything like that. You just need to be obedient. That's all it is. I don't have long, so I'm just going to keep going through. The next is, God uses ordinary people who have an extraordinary faith. People that are willing to step out and trust God no matter what. And a couple of weeks ago at Super Sunday, I spoke on Peter when he hopped out of the boat and walked on water. It's in Matthew 14, 25 to 32. And it says this, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come out to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Peter showed what Jesus calls a little bit of faith, I call extraordinary faith, to hop out of a boat and walk on water. That is just something that, you know, the ordinary person's not going to do. That's just, we can't really comprehend that because it's just so out of this world. And yet, I can't believe Jesus said, you have little faith. Little faith. Can I encourage someone today and just say, you only need a little bit of faith to do something incredible for God. Don't think you need to be the pastor of a church or the leader of the youth ministry or the kids ministry or whatever ministry. Don't think you need to be the head person. You just need a little bit of faith to do something incredible for God. You don't need to be the head person. You just need to be a person with faith. And God uses ordinary people who have extraordinary faith, who are just willing, you know what, I'm going to step out of this boat. I'm going to do something out of the ordinary. I'm going to just do something and trust God. And I pray that we would have a church full of young people and young adults who are just constantly out of the boat. Just not living in the comfort zone, but living in the faith zone. Just in a place where they're just totally trusting God, where everything they're doing totally hangs on the faithfulness of God and not the faithfulness or the ability of themselves. Let's be people that step out and just say, I'm just going to trust God. Yes, it's scary. Yes, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know my God is faithful. I know my God is true to His Word. I know His Word never fails. And so I'm just going to step out and try something. And maybe for you, it's just going to be a little step of faith, and that is awesome. Because you'll never get to great leaps of faith if you've never taken little steps of faith. And Liz and I and a team are about to plant a church in Shell Harbour, and at the moment it's just little steps of faith. And I know there's leaps to come, and I know that we won't be ready for those leaps unless we take little steps of faith right now. So can I encourage you, take little steps. Don't think you need to be just ridiculous and make these foolish decisions that are just way beyond you, but just make little steps of faith. Maybe for you it is committing to giving in the offering every week. That's a little step of faith. Maybe it's a big step of faith, but just commit to that and see what God can do. Just take little steps, and then God will lead you to the big steps. You know, Peter, he had witnessed Jesus doing all these incredible miracles. He'd been side by side with Jesus and seen all this stuff happen. So walking on water wasn't like the first amazing, incredible thing that he'd ever seen or done before. He'd actually witnessed Jesus do some stuff. And so that was kind of the leading up to this moment. And that's what God's going to do in our lives. He's going to just, you know, he's just going to ask us, come on, step out, come. Like Jesus said to Peter, come, come. Peter, you know, he had a dream in his heart to step out and do something amazing. And Jesus said, come, I give you permission to do it. And I feel like God's saying to people tonight, I give you permission to step out. Come to me. Come. Come, step out of the comfort zone and step into the faith zone. Who knows what's going to happen, but I know God's going to do something. And you can be young people that do incredible things in your school, in your workplace, wherever it is, if you just have faith. God uses ordinary people who have extraordinary faith. And lastly, God uses ordinary people who have an extraordinary servant heart. So we've seen that Peter has extraordinary obedience. I love the fact that Jesus could have chosen anybody to be his disciples, but he specifically chose people that he knew would just immediately obey him, immediately follow him. And that didn't mean the most incredible person that was alive at the time. It just meant who's the most obedient, who's going to do what I say so that we can get this thing happening. And for that, it was Peter and all the rest of the disciples. And we just need to be obedient. So obedience, faith, and finally, have an extraordinary servant heart. In 2 Peter 1, verse 1, it simply, Peter is writing a letter here, and he simply says this. I love it. He says, he's just introducing himself. He says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. I love that Peter said servant first. I love that. Because he knew that ultimately the job description of any Christian is to be a servant. It's just to serve Jesus. And no title, no position comes before us being a servant to Jesus. Just serving Jesus. And if you want to do extraordinary things, then it starts with serving. And it ends with serving, actually. It's all serving. It's just serving Jesus and just doing what he says and just doing what needs to be done. I read an awesome blog yesterday by Christine Kane, and she was just talking about a little bit about her life, and I'd just like to share a little bit of it with you. Many people think Christine Kane's a pastor from Hillsong and has gone on to do incredible things in the world of human trafficking and stopping that. Many people think that just because they are Christians, God is going to drop their destiny out of the sky like fairy dust. But nothing could be further from the truth. It was during my time as a youth leader in my local youth ministry that I learned the necessity of preparation. During that season of my life, I was using my car to drive young people to youth meetings, setting up the youth auditorium, vacuuming the floor, cleaning the toilets, and doing whatever else needed to be done. My dream and heart's desire was to preach all over the world, but I knew that God needed to do a deep work in me so that he could do a great work through me in the future. Although I found this preparation phase incredibly frustrating, lonely, and sometimes tedious, I know that if I had not stayed committed to the preparation process during those years, I would not be doing what I'm doing today. It's all about serving. Christine Kane has gone on to do incredible things and has international influence over nations, and she's a worldwide speaker. but it all began in her local church, in the local youth ministry, putting out chairs, vacuuming the carpet, cleaning the toilets, just doing whatever needed to be done. And if you want to be used by God to do extraordinary things, it starts with serving. And because God's not going to just drop your purpose from the sky into your lap or bring it to you on a silver platter and say, here you go. Because you made a decision to follow me, I'm just going to give it to you all at once. I believe that we need to grow into our purpose, and we can't just have it all at once, and God's not going to spoil us, and because we're not going to become more like Jesus if he just gives us everything in one go. He wants us to grow and mature and have the capacity to do the great things and the extraordinary things that he's called us to do. And that's where serving comes into it. That's where just doing whatever needs to be done in your local church. That's when you just serve the people around you, not just in church, but in your family and at work and at school, just serving, 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 just saying, you know what, it's not all about me, but it's about God and other people, and I just want to help people. And you'll probably find when you realize that it's not about you and it's about God and it's about other people, and you begin to serve other people, that God just begins opening up doors, and all of a sudden you find yourself living out the dream that God put in your heart in the very first day, all because you decided to serve and put yourself second. I want to encourage you to be servers. I want to encourage you just to be people that, you know, just do whatever it takes and say, you know what, I'm just going to put in, I'm just going to serve, I'm just going to help out, because I know God's got my life planned out. I know God's going to do it all. He's got it all planned. He created me. He's written out my days. I just need to get in and do what needs to be done, and he'll sort the rest out. Amen. God uses ordinary people who have an extraordinary servant heart. I want to finish with this scripture, and the band can come up. This is from 1 Corinthians 1:26-31. Brothers and sisters, this is Paul writing to the Corinthian church. Think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him, Jesus, that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. I love this scripture because it means nobody has an excuse. Nobody can say, I'm too weak, or I'm not gifted enough, or I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough. Well, that's awesome. You're the perfect candidate for God to use to do something incredible. There's no more excuses, because God uses the people that just understand that, you know what, I'm just an ordinary person. I'm not the greatest at this, I'm not the greatest at that. But because of that, I'm the perfect candidate for God to use. Oh, Lord, I thank you, God, that you're an awesome God. I thank you, God, that you love us, Lord. God, I thank you that you use the ordinary people, God, to do extraordinary things, Lord. I pray that we would be a church full of young people, Lord God, that we have extraordinary obedience to you, Lord. We have extraordinary faith to step out and try something. And God, we have an extraordinary servant heart, God. I pray that no one would make excuses, Lord. I pray that everyone would believe that God has something great for them, that God wants to use them for something extraordinary and wants to bless them and just be in their life and help them reach the full potential of who they're created to be, Lord. God, I pray that no one would be making excuses, Lord, because your word has just told us we've got no place to make excuses now, because you use the lowest of the low. You use the weakest of the weak. You use the poorest of the poor. There's no more excuses. I thank you, God, that you can use anybody, Lord. And we just want to be a body of young people, Lord, who just want to give ourselves to you and be used by you, God, because you are great and mighty, and you have got great plans for us, Lord. We believe it. We believe it. If you want to be used by God, you want to live an extraordinary life, you just put your hand up in the air right now and say, yes, that's me. Raise up your hand and say, God, I know I'm just an ordinary person, but God, I believe, I know that you want to use me for great things, Lord. I know I don't have everything. I know I'm not the most gifted person. I know I can't speak or do any platform ministry, but I know I can help out here and I can help out there, God. I know I can serve. I know I can be obedient. Lord, I know I can just have a little bit of faith to step out, Lord. God, you see these people with their hands up, Lord. We're just a group, a bunch of ordinary people, God. When we just want to be used by you, God. Lord, help us to just every day to have that extraordinary obedience, to listen to your Spirit, to do what you're telling us to do, just like Peter did. Help us all, God, with our hands raised high, just to use the faith that we've got, how little it might be, God, but just to step out, to continually step out and just be used by you, God. And Lord, help us to always have a servant heart and know that it's not about us, but it's all about you, God, and all about other people. Use these people, God. I thank you that you have a great plan for their life. I thank you that you want to use them, that you want to bless them, that you want to increase them and enlarge them and do incredible things in their life, Lord. And I speak it over them in Jesus' name, Lord. And we as a church and as young people just commit ourselves to you and say, use us, God. Use us for your great purpose. Use us to build your church, Lord. And everybody said passionately, amen. Amen. Awesome.
Hand, eh? Give him a hand. That was awesome. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Yeah, thank you. Why don't we stand together? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Yeah, thank you. God, we just thank you for your presence here. And God, before we close the service tonight, we just want to take some time. Thank you, God. You know, like, being a Christian, it starts with that decision to say yes to following Jesus, just like Peter did and the disciples did, just like, you know, everybody who calls themselves a Christian has done. And I guess I want to give a really clear opportunity tonight. We don't always do this. We haven't always done this, but a really clear opportunity for people to say tonight, yep, I want to follow Jesus. Now, the Bible says in Isaiah 53 that all of us have sinned. All of us have gone astray. All of us have done the wrong thing. You know, each of us has turned to our own ways. It says, but the Lord laid on him, and that him is talking about Jesus. It says that God put on him the iniquity, which means the sin, the bad stuff, the disobedience. It says, of all of us. And that's, in essence, what Christian faith is about. It's not about me being someone who is good enough to stand before God, but it's about me understanding that God put all of my sin, all of my wrongdoing on Jesus. And that when he died for me. And when he died for you. And because of that, I don't have to be condemned for my sin, but I can be alive in Jesus Christ. And so, you know, the Bible says that what we need to do is repent. And repent can seem like a funny word that isn't used very often, but it's really the right word. And I heard a really great definition of repent this week. And it basically said repentance means, like, put your hands in the air and turn around. And, you know, you've probably heard that, like, when someone gets arrested and they say, like, put up your hands and turn around. That's what it means to repent. It means to say, yep, I'm sorry, I surrender. And then turn around. Turn from what you're doing and change direction. That's what it means. And the Bible says that, you know, that if we would believe in our hearts in Romans 10, that if we would believe in our heart and we would confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that we would be saved. Not by anything that we can do, but by his incredible love and grace. And so tonight I really want to give an opportunity for people just to, you know, believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that Jesus is the Lord of their life, to say, yep, God, I surrender, I'm sorry, I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to follow you. I want to be a Christian. If that's you, everyone's here, we're going to pray together. We're going to pray this prayer together. It's going to come up on the screen. You pray it from your heart. Everyone's going to pray, but you pray it from your heart, and you know that it's real for you. So let's just pray this together. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life. I'll follow you. Awesome. Amen. If you prayed that, don't leave it as like just a prayer, but talk to the person that invited you, the person that brought you, and just say, "You look, I heard that message and something really did something in my heart, and I prayed that prayer, and I don't know exactly what all of that means yet, but I want to follow Jesus. I want to make a decision to do that." So make sure that you don't leave that here in a church service, but you take it into your life. Yeah, amen. We're going to play a song. We're going to sing a song together before we close. Thanks for coming.